Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we're back from Wichita.
Yep. I think you've been back less time than I have. I've been home since noon. We're recording at our normal time, which is 6 o'clock, a little after 6 o'clock Eastern here. So I've been home for a little bit, but you got home maybe, what, like an hour or two ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been up for about 30 hours. This is very similar to when I went to Wichita because I had to change my travel plans at the last minute since New England got a bit of a snowstorm.
Yeah. So I haven't been up 30 hours, but I had an early morning flight. We actually had our flights left like a few minutes after each other. So we were at the airport this morning together, chatted for a bit before you went to your gate and I went to mine. I went to bed. I skipped the exhibition last night, grabbed a nice dinner with my mom and my brother who came to Wichita with me. And then we watched the Kansas City Chiefs and Bills game. We won't mention that. I'm a little sore on that one right now. But then packed up my stuff and I went to bed and woke up at like 2:30 this morning. So I got a little sleep. And this afternoon, while I was doing my laundry and doing some of the stuff that I have to do for skating, because there's a lot that I have coming back from Nationals, I was dozing off. So I'm exhausted. It's going to be interesting, but we thought we'd still do an episode because it's fresh in our brains. But I do want to, since we are talking about travel, my travel coming back was like this. You know, got on my flight, was on time, got my second flight, got home when I was supposed to. Getting to Wichita for me was hard. I didn't think I was going to get there. You know, everyone talked about moving flights. You know, Daphne, you moved your flight. I know other people who moved their flights because of the snowstorm. And I was like, oh, but I'm leaving Wednesday. I'm going to be fine. Well, here's my story. I woke up Wednesday morning for my 6 o'clock flight around, I think it was maybe, I don't know, 3:30 I woke up, got ready, put in the last few things in my suitcase. I was about to eat breakfast, checked my phone, and it said, your flight has been delayed until 11:30. And I was like, oh no, because that meant I was going to miss my connecting flight from Atlanta. I was flying into Atlanta to Wichita. So I was flying Delta. Delta put us on to another flight to Wichita. So that was good. I didn't need to go to the airport now, but I was wide awake. I actually started editing photos. And I happened to check my phone about 8 o'clock, and then it said the flight was leaving at 10:30. So I'm like, oh, crap, now we need to get to the airport here if the flight's going to leave at 10:30. So long story short, the flight kept changing within a span of an hour or two. It went 10:30, 11, 11:30. I think we actually took off about noon. Got into Atlanta only to sit on the tarmac for another 30 minutes because we didn't have a gate to go to. The gate was occupied. So sat there, made it, you know, got into the Atlanta airport. Our flight to Wichita now has been delayed 30 minutes. So I'm like, oh my God, just get me to Wichita. And then we did get on the flight to Wichita, but we didn't get in until I think it was close to 6 o'clock Wichita time and had been up again. I've been up since like 3:30, whatever time that was, 2:40. I think it might have actually been 2:45. And yeah, so it was a long day. I was bummed I missed the juniors. I had planned to go to the junior free, the junior pairs free skate and then the junior free dance. I was exhausted. We got to our hotel, grabbed something to eat, grabbed our credentials, and then was watching the free dance on Peacock from our hotel room. So, yeah. So the one who didn't think she was going to have any problems had quite the adventure on Wednesday. But I got there, and of course, the way home was so much easier. I wish it was the other way around. I wouldn't have mind, you know, hanging out a little bit longer, I guess, in Wichita, than coming home and knowing that you're out of your skating bubble and that work begins the next day.
Yeah, and I had only that one little blip, which was I had to change my flights. The flights there and back were okay. I didn't really have any problems. The issue is Wichita is not really a place that you can easily get to. It requires you to have a layover somewhere.
Yeah, and even for someone like you who is flying from Boston, which is a big airport, or like this morning on my flight, I had a couple known skaters on my flight, one being Jacob Sanchez, who was flying into New York. And so you would think New York would have had a direct flight into Wichita. No, they were having to get off that flight rather quickly to get their connecting flight, to get to their connecting flight to New York. Yeah, so it is a very small airport. It was busy this morning. A lot of, you know, familiar faces. Yes. We were all comparing who was on each other's flights. I had the world champion sitting two rows in front of me. I'm just going to throw it out there. That would be Ilya Malinin. And we saw him this morning. You saw him this morning in the airport too with his garbage bag of, stuffies. I always wonder how they get him home. He had a huge one. I believe he checked it because he was not trying to get it onto the plane. But yeah, so, and I know you had Audrey, or not Audrey, Alicia and Misha on your flight.
I did.
And the Mullins.
Yeah, so the travel was just a bit, for me, a bit much with how I got to Wichita. And I think that I would do it differently. If it were in Wichita again, I would do it differently.
Yeah.
Because what feels like planes, trains, and automobiles, it's too much.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this was my last airplane travel for skating this season. I'm hoping to drive to Boston, hoping the weather cooperates. So, and if it doesn't, then I think we would be probably trying to take a train, then trying to fly. But yeah, so I'm like just keeping my fingers crossed I don't have to go the airplane route again, because I don't think I even could get a direct flight from where I am to Boston. So, so Mother Nature, stop with this snow and cold right now. March, mid-March there, end of March, I need to get to Boston.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I am like 2 hours north of Boston. I'm planning to take the train down because I'm not going to really need my car while I'm there. And the pain of driving and parking and paying for parking is just not worth it. And when I went in 2016, that's exactly what I did. I took the train down and it was just, it was great. It actually comes in right under the garden. So it's pretty easy. So as we kick off this discussion, we've already talked a little bit about our travel there. We are going to talk about skating, I promise. Just a little background information. U.S. championships have been held annually since 1914, with a few exceptions. Sometimes I get asked about the pewter medals because we're the only country that gives out a medal to fourth place. And that's been going on since 1988. Wichita has not hosted the U.S. Championships before. This is the first one. And next year's Nationals are going to take place in early January in St. Louis, Missouri. The reason it's going to take place earlier in January is because it's an Olympic year. And picking the Olympic team and getting that solidified, there are deadlines for that. And just making sure that everything is all set up for those that are chosen to go and compete in Italy at the Olympics. It's important to have that ironed out. So that'll be taking place very early, which is kind of what they did a few years ago in 2022. We did it early. Yeah. So
it's usually like right after the first of the year, during an mm-hmm. Olympic year compared to
two or 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
I went to my first Nationals in St. Louis, and that was in 2006. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to go back. And I've already checked. There are direct flights out of Boston. It should be
yeah,
easier.
Yeah, no direct flights for me. So. But and I have not been to St. Louis, but I have been to Missouri. The last U.S. Championships in Missouri was Kansas City in 2017.
Yep.
So, so we're going back to, like, the Midwest. I mean, we're really, Kansas and mm-hmm. Missouri are very close. So it's interesting why we're doing Midwest here.
Yeah, and I kind of thought Columbus was going to get the nod for it just because they did such a fantastic job last year in filling the stands. Like, it was a really well-attended competition. So I thought maybe they would give them the event, but nope, we're going to St. Louis, and I am interested in seeing what things look like. One thing I do remember, and I know I brought this up before, is that the practice rink was, you know, 30 minutes at least away from the competition rink. So I've heard that it's going to be a similar situation for this event, but I'm not 100% sure. And it's a year away, so I really don't, you know, have to think about it too much. But it'll be interesting to go back to St. Louis because it's the site of my first Nationals. And so I'm excited.
Well,
so you may have noticed that we did not post any episodes last week. We kind of ran into an issue with time. The schedule was very compact.
Yes.
There was not a lot of time for us to record. And the few times that there were, like a dedicated spot where we could do something, I didn't really feel prepared because I felt like we just kept moving through things mm-hmm. very quickly. And I wanted to make sure we could talk about things a little more deeply than what I felt like we were going to be able to do there.
Yeah,
so
most of the breaks were just an ice resurfacing, even between, mm-hmm. Between like maybe the pair short and then the women's short. There was just an ice resurfacing. Mm-hmm. And we then have the press conference after. And sometimes the press conference mm-hmm. was starting as the next event was beginning. So mm-hmm. we were just constantly going. The only day that we had more than an ice resurfacing was Saturday before the pairs mm-hmm. Free skate. That was it. It was 15-minute breaks, and we have to get meals and go and eat, and it's mm-hmm. running up and grabbing something on the concourse, or if you did have more than 15 minutes, which you rarely did. You were, you know, running across the street. There was a nice sandwich place across the street. Or you were just going to try to find food somewhere nearby. Mm-hmm. it was very hard. And I think Saturday was the only time where we thought, oh, could we record? And we were both like, oh, we're hungry.
No, we need to eat.
And then Sunday, I even had two one-on-one interviews back to back. So I had to prep mm-hmm. for those and did those. And then the men started and then we both left, after the men's event. We did not stick around for the exhibition. So there was just no time. We thought we could do it. But hopefully in Boston, there will be a third member of this week in skating team with us. His name is Mateo. So we should be able to do more daily recordings like we did at Worlds, because that way if, you know, Daphne needs to be eating, Mateo and I can record. It doesn't have to be all three of us at the same time, so it'll give us a little more flexibility. But, yeah, it was tough. Tough schedule. And I don't know how fans liked it either, with it being very on top of each other. And we won't even get into Saturday's schedule, because that was, other than the nice break after we had our two press conferences back to back, that schedule, I don't want to see us do that schedule again.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting in splitting things up. And I actually had heard one of the higher level ice dancers commenting on maybe they didn't understand, whoever put the schedule together didn't understand that ice dance is very deep in the U.S. and it's hard to separate the groups like that and just put the final group. And I mean, I think it was done for TV to make sure, like, they could do the men's free and the dance free, like, flowing into each other. But they missed some great performances.
Yeah. Yeah, and in regards to the tickets for that, if you wanted to see the full men's event, you that day, you had to get two tickets. It was the first two, you know, the first two groups for men and dance, and then the later groups for dance and men.
It's really hard to do that because you lose a little bit of the excitement and the momentum leading from one into the other.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't quite as bad in the short program, but for the free dance, it was a disruption, which I expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not that I don't understand why NBC would want to show things in a certain way. I just wish that there was a better way of doing this to keep things more connected and together. Because it breaks it up for the audience, too. Like, they're in this mindset, and then they get pulled out of it. And it was close amongst the scores.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of shifting around. It didn't affect the final five teams, but there was some movement among places in the free dance.
Yeah.
So That was a bit disappointing, and I guess we'll see. It only happens once every so often. It's not even every year that that this is a thing, but
it'll probably it might be different next year with the fact that it's an Olympic year. So maybe there is more live TV coverage next year, we would hope. But I didn't care for it. It required me to keep flipping back and forth between papers. And what scores here and what scores are there. And yeah, just the flow of the event didn't go well.
I heard rumblings from fans.
I heard from parents too. Parents of the athletes.
Yeah. That were very disappointed that this was a situation that was presented to them. And I totally get it. Totally get it. What did you think about the crowd in comparison to Columbus? Because I know this was a smaller venue.
Well, the first day that I got there, which was Thursday, to the arena, when I walked in, I saw this huge line and I was like, wait a minute. This is the junior women's free skate. And no offense to our junior women. We have very talented junior women. But I'm like, this cannot be the crowd coming in for this event. And it was middle schoolers from the area, like middle schools, that were there to watch the junior women's event. They were up in the 200 level. I don't know how many there were, but there were a lot of them. I kind of had to go around them through security. It was a sheriff's deputy who saw me trying to go through, and he said, just pretend like you're somebody important and cut through. And I'm like, okay. But that was interesting. I don't remember that happening recently, that we have had, you know, school kids come and watch. I know Canada does that for a practice session, but not for an actual competition. So I don't know what the junior women thought of that, but there definitely was a lot of noise and a lot of cheering going on from the middle schoolers that were up above watching. But for the most part, we have to remember that Wichita is a smaller arena than Columbus. So though Columbus, we had huge crowds, Wichita, we didn't have, you know, completely full crowds. I thought the crowd that was there was great and, you know, was cheering on all of the athletes. And there were standing ovations for various athletes. But I think it was definitely, you know, smaller than Columbus. The most attended event was Saturday night. And I was chatting about this with Phil Hirsch. And Phil said, you know, when people in the area are looking for when they're going to come to an event, he said most people are looking for something to do on a Saturday night. He said, so they choose to go to the event on Saturday night. And I think that was the most attended event, was Saturday night. And it's interesting that Pairs was the event on Saturday night. No offense to our Pairs skaters. They're very talented. But I don't know if that would have been, I think if we put maybe the men or dance where we have world champions in those fields, it might have been the better event for people looking for something to do on a Saturday night, because looking at the crowd on Sunday, it was a little bit smaller, and here you had Ilya competing, and everyone knows about Ilya for the most part. It was much smaller. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs were playing Sunday, and I saw a lot of Kansas City fans, and I kept complaining about it. Being from Western New York, I was rooting on Buffalo, but when the men's free skate ended, there was a mad dash out the doors. People did not stay for that medal ceremony because the game was about to start. And I think from what I heard, that also impacted exhibition tickets as well, because people were not wanting to go to the event. They wanted to watch the game. But I thought the crowd wasn't bad for, you know, for the whole weekend. I mean, again, you would love to see more people, would love to see it sold out, but it was a decent sized crowd. And we had, where the media was sitting in front of us, we had the kids from that were participating this week in the high development performance camp. And they were having a grand old time, clapping when maybe they shouldn't have been clapping, because sometimes they were off the beat or it wasn't music that was clapping music. Dancing just so that they could be on the camera, throwing t-shirts out to fans and stuff. They were having a grand old time. So that made for a very loud and exciting crowd as well.
Yeah, they were super into it. It was a lot of fun to see their reactions to what they were seeing on the ice, because you know that this was, you know, for some of them, it was the first big competition like this that they had attended. And I saw some familiar faces, especially to some of the parents I got to talk with that were there with their kids, and they were having a lot of fun with it. So it was exciting to good to see their excitement, because I think there's so much energy that you wish you could just bottle it up. At least that's how I feel. I bottle up that energy. So Gabriella Papadakis made her debut on NBC as a commentator for the Ice Dance event. Ben Augusto did the world feed on Peacock along with Gracie Gold and Ashley Wagner. This is our second Nationals in a row, I believe, without Rusty.
No, we had him last year. So, it was, I believe we had him last year. I think it was Skate America that we had these new hosts.
Yeah, so
they were new to us because we haven't been to Skate America in what, 2 years? Did you go to last year?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Did not go last year. But DJ Romeo was there spinning the tunes, so that went very well. Everyone enjoys his music, and he tends to play the right things to get people up and dancing and moving in the stands in between things. Yeah, I think one last thing we want to mention, the staff at the arena were incredibly helpful. I found that two of my, like, Lyft drivers, Uber drivers, like, they would offer suggestions on places to go eat, things to do. They all just seemed really happy to be having this event in Wichita.
We stopped in the Visit Wichita, which was right near our hotel. And the lady that was there was very nice. She was going to the event herself and was very excited about it. So there seemed to be a lot of excitement for the event being in town. So, anyone in the arena, that I, you know, had contact with was very nice, very helpful. Food choices in the arena were great as well. And the people that were working in the concessions there were nice. And so, and I liked the venue itself. It seemed to be a little bit newer than other venues. And we had a lot of walking, from our media seating to where you guys took photos, to where the mix zone was, to where our media seats were. So my step count was high every day. And my feet were hurting. I really had a good time. Once I got to Wichita, I had a really good time, as always. And this was my 10th Nationals. So, it was really good. And I'm, for people who I didn't get to see while I was there, you know, the schedule was tough. It's just hard to try to connect with everyone. I promise if you're coming to Boston, I will try to connect with you in Boston.
Yeah, this was my 18th Nationals.
You have me beat.
3, 2, 4, 2, 5, or 19th Nationals. Okay. It's pretty wild. I've only missed one, and that was because of the pandemic. And they did allow media there, but it was much more constricted or regimented and organized in a way that I didn't feel would work for me. So Melanie went and had a really, you know, interesting time there, but I just felt it was good to have someone there that some of the kids knew and would be comfortable with, because we weren't really aware at that time. Our parents allowed to come, our parents not allowed to come. So it just gave like a familiar face in the audience. I think people have gotten used to seeing Melanie or Robin or me or some of the other photographers at competitions. And sometimes it helps to have a familiar face.
All right. Well, I think we should actually talk about what happened in Wichita, other than, you know, just some of the other things. But we'll start with the event that actually wrapped up about 24 hours ago. Men. And there was really no surprise there that Ilya Malinin was going to win his third U.S. championship. We just didn't know what Ilya was going to do program-wise. Watching in the warm-up of the free skate, he was really struggling with that quad loop. And I was sitting near Phil, and we kept saying, that's couple times there that he's, you know, not going to complete that, you know, quad loop. And of course, that was the jump that he fell on. But we did see the quad axle, which looked like nothing. And then we got a backflip with the 1 foot landing. Yeah, and of course, when he's done, his ending pose is laying on the ice, but he just kind of laid there anyways, and he got up. And I still am asking Jordan this question, where he got the marker from to write on Jordan's, and this is his lens cover. This is Jordan of On Ice Perspectives, who was coming on and off the ice for the beginning of, like, for the warm-ups and then for when the skaters were exiting the ice, that Ilya takes this marker and writes in the camera cover there. I asked Jordan if it destroyed the camera, and then I asked him where they got the marker from, but I didn't hear that. So Ilya, I mean, he was... Ilya, he didn't do, he was still going to set out what he wanted to do at the Grand Prix, which was to do 7 quads. He was not able to do that with the falling on the loop. But for me, other than Ilya just being Ilya, the free skate for me was Andrew Torgashev. We saw the best free skate of Andrew Torgashev's career in Wichita. It's just looking like he is in the best condition this season. We know how well he did in the Grand Prix, that he almost made the final. So for me, that was mine. I don't know about you, Daphne, if that was your favorite of the men.
He killed it. We've seen Andrew have his ups and downs. He's been one of those skaters that's had injuries and had to withdraw. And the last couple of seasons, he's been able to really pull it together. And I think based on what he did at the Grand Prix this season, that must have helped build a lot of confidence heading into Nationals. And I know that in the press conference he was talking about how he lives, eats, and breathes skating. Like, that's his life. That's what he wants to do. That's what makes him happy. And I think that was definitely apparent if you watched his program, because he was so just calm. It just was such a calm performance.
And I wonder if that has to do with the fact of who was with him at the boards. But Brandon Frazier was there with him the whole weekend. He is coached by Rafael Artunian, and Raf does not travel anymore. But we've seen Brandon with Andrew most of the season. And I actually pulled Andrew after the press conference and said, can you just kind of give me a quote on what Brandon does for you in your skating? And he said they've been friends for a number of years now, and he's helps with him mentally. He's just there to really help him mentally, to have that familiar face. And Brandon is a world champion himself and an Olympic gold medalist, and just having his experience to help, it helps Andrew. But I think that is a really, I think it's been really good for Andrew having that, that friend, and that person that could really give him the calming presence on the ice. And,
That reminds me a bit of what Adam Rippon did for Mariah Bell. Really helped get her into the headspace she needed to be in. Just him being there. He was a big part of her successes at the end of her career. So that was great. I have to say, I wanted to mention Max Naumov, because Max is one of those skaters that sometimes he'll make a mistake and then it will plague him for the rest of the skate. And it didn't. He was able to pull it together after doubling his quad salchow. He kept it together through the rest of the performance and really skated quite well. And as people who skated after him were having issues, his score held up so that he's back on the podium in a familiar spot that he's been in before.
He likes that pewter spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I have to point that out. And you mentioned also Jacob Sanchez. He's our, you know, Junior Grand Prix final champion. And I feel like while he wasn't perfect in his senior debut, it at least put him in the conversation. Yeah.
Well, he was in that.
He finished seventh overall.
Yeah, and he was in that last sixth warm-up in both group
programs.
Heading into the free skate. So, yeah. He did very well for his senior debut. I have to also mention Jimmy Ma and his short program. Unfortunately, did not have a good free skate to keep that third spot. He was in third place after the short. I actually was coming up from downstairs when Jimmy skated his short and caught the tail end. And I could hear people going crazy. And I was like, oh my God, Jimmy had a really good skate. So yeah, I wanted to mention him again. Unfortunate for him that he couldn't hold on to that third spot, because especially possibly he might have been given a world spot and gone to a Worlds in his training city, his home, you know, training city. Also have to mention in the short program too, Liam Capakis, who had a really good short after he's had a bit of a rocky season. You know, he did not have any Grand Prix this year, and so he's been kind of up and down here lately. It was nice to see him have a good short. He did not, he finished eighth overall, but still an impressive result. Tomoki Iwatashi pulled up from, he was 10th after the short, but he had a really good free skate. I also missed that one from coming up, but I could see the reaction he made and the reaction from the crowd. He finished 6th overall. And we have to mention our bronze medalist, Camden Pulkkinen, who was 4th after the short, pulled up to take the bronze medal. This is his second consecutive bronze at the U.S. Championships. You know, wasn't sure what we were going to get from Camden, knowing the kind of schedule he's kind of undertaking right now, but he seems to have really trained well for this event to pull up to take a medal. And will be interesting to see now. We'll talk about this, but he will be going to four continents. Will he go to Worlds? It remains to be seen. He is first alternate for that. So I don't know what his schedule will look like come later on this season.
Yeah, I'm interested in how he makes that work. I'm wondering if skating helped put together some of the building blocks he needs to be able to manage his schedule so he can train and also work full time. So I'm very curious about that. And we will go through at the end, we'll go through all of the assignments so you'll know where people are going. Because U.S. Figure Skating has named all of the teams, as well as some additional assignments outside of those ISU championships. So we can move on to the women's event, which was quite exciting, especially, you know, the short program. Alyssa Liu led, which was a bit, you know, not a huge surprise, I guess, but given the trajectory she's on in bringing herself back, it might have been a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit of a surprise to her. Everything is a little bit of a surprise to her. When you talk to her, whether it was in a mix zone or in a press conference. She doesn't even remember how scoring things, you know, how things worked, how you scored elements and things. It's like a brand new Alyssa out there. It's refreshing to see that this is her skating for herself. That she's not skating for anybody but herself. She had no expectations. She was fun in that press conference because she didn't know how this press conference thing worked. It's like she completely wiped her memory from her previous competitive seasons, and this is a brand new Alyssa. But her short program was really good. I really was glad to get to see that program in person, because we had her on the podcast and she talked about how she really liked that music and getting to skate to it. It was just unfortunate for her that she dropped into second place overall, still taking the silver. She had more mistakes in the free with some under rotations there that hurt her, but still it was a good skate. If people weren't paying attention to the under rotations, they would have thought it was a good performance. It wasn't as technically strong as our two-time national champion,
US champion
Amber Glenn.
Yes,
pulled up from third after she had a disappointing short program where she couldn't get her triple-triple in. But that free skate, that triple axel looks like effortless.
Yes, I have to agree. That was probably the best triple axel we've seen from her. It was glorious. It was glorious. It got a lot of height and distance, and it was so exciting. And you could tell that the crowd understood what was going on. And they supported her right away with that. She did have one fall in the performance on a triple loop. And that kind of sucked the wind out just a little bit. But the rest of the program was so solid. And I feel like Amber has really turned a corner where she moves on after making a mistake and doesn't let herself get mired in it. She accepts it and lets go and keeps going and can still be successful in the program. It's wonderful to see. And I like how she has become like a mentor to other women in this discipline. It's great to see her interact with the others, and really you can see how much she really cares.
We saw that definitely in the press conference when she took a question and answered it on behalf of Sarah Everhart. Definitely looking out for the younger skaters, because she knows what it's like. She was in their shoes, and now she's the veteran and the leader. Very happy for her. She's continuing her winning season, she really did show that, you make a mistake in the short, it's not over. She pulled herself back up from that third to, take that second U.S. title.
And that's very exciting, because there was a time where I feel Amber would not have come through with those performances because it would have gotten to her more. And we've moved beyond that. And this version of Amber that we're getting is a great version. And I'm excited to see what she does at the World Championships in March. We have to talk about the other comeback, Brady Tennell, who has been plagued by injuries and surgeries the last couple of seasons. Of course, she was an Olympian in 2018. Here she is in, heading into another Olympic season next year. Her short program was really classic Brady as far as landing the elements and the presentation. The free program, she did have some issues. It was not what she wanted, probably, but still, it's a step in a comeback direction for her and puts her in the mix potentially for next year for an Olympic spot. And I hope she takes what she learned from this performance and uses it to fuel her for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, and our bronze medalist was Sarah Everhart, who came up from fourth to claim the bronze. We've seen her being very consistent all season, and so it was not surprising. We said she may be the dark horse here and you know, kind of kind of squeeze her way up onto the podium, and she did. And really liking how she's been skating this season. She had a few little things here and there in both, you know, skates, but really happy for her and happy that we have younger talent kind of coming in too as well and challenging some of our skaters that we've seen for a little bit, even though like Alyssa's coming back and Brady's coming back from an injury. It's nice to see some of the younger talent coming up as well and being competitive with some of the ones that have been around for a little bit. And that's what Sarah said. It was so cool to be on the podium with people she's grown up watching, and watching Alyssa and watching Amber. And so there she was on the podium with them. Another one I wanted to mention too was Star Andrews. She was sitting in 12th place. We couldn't remember what it was, but pulled up to have the fifth best free skate and finished sixth overall. Nice to see her having a good skate because we didn't see her on the Grand Prix this year. And she had to qualify the old-fashioned way through sectionals. And usually she's one that gets the Grand Prix assignments. And so hopefully this is a good sign for her that she could get, you know, be back on the Grand Prix next year. And hopefully will skate well next season. And I was glad for her. Lise Lynn Gracie was one that we thought, okay, she could be a dark horse and be a spoiler for the favorites for the podium. Unfortunately, she did not have her best skates in Wichita, and she finished eighth overall, but her season is not over yet, and we will talk about that when we go over the world assignments in a little bit. But Sonia Hilmer, fans loved her, finished in ninth place, so that was very good for her. But yeah, fans love the creativity she brings. They love her performances. So nice to see her have some good skates there and finish in the top 10. But
And based on that and some of her international assignments and results earlier this season, she earned an alternate spot for one of the competitions. Yeah. So that was great to see.
Definitely.
My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol. My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
So let's move on to the pairs, which was quite an interesting, if not bizarre, event when we got to the free skate.
The short program was what I expected. The results of the short program with Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea being first, and then Emily Chan and Spencer Howe second, Alicia Efimova, Misha Mitrofanov third, and Katie McBeath, Daniel Parkman fourth. Those were the teams I had. I thought that was the order. Mm-hmm. Come the free skate, not so much. For me, though, I'm going to say it, the performance of the pairs event, and I don't think anyone would disagree with me on this, it belonged to Alicia and Misha. Oh my gosh, that was a beautiful free skate. They had the skate of their career. I mean, it's been a very short career right now. They're only in their second season, but yeah, that was the highlight. Because then after that, it was kind of sad with some of the skates that happened, but they are looking like the team to beat really now. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit anyways, but they are, as the national champions, they get an automatic bid to the World Championships, which happens to be in their home training town. They train at the Skating Club of Boston, and Worlds is in Boston, so that's going to be a cool experience for them. It was very hard to watch the 2024 U.S. champions, Ellie Kam and Danny O'Shea, compete their free skate. There was mistakes there, including the fall for both of them on that lift. It like took the air right out of the arena. My heart dropped. Felt so bad in that moment. That cost them, you know, the title. They finished third. You know, I felt really bad. You could see it in both of their faces in the kiss and cry, but we also saw it in the press conference where Danny felt like he let Ellie down because he couldn't, you know, hold on to her in that lift. But yeah, it, you know, ice is slippery. I think he even said it, ice is slippery. And unfortunately it was slippery for us, in the free skate. Mm-hmm. So, but Katie McBeath and Daniel Parkman took the silver. This being only their second season as well. So that was maybe a bit surprise for most people. I don't think many of us were expecting them to finish in the second spot. And we will talk a little bit more about them when we talk about the assignments a little bit. Emily Chan and Spencer Howe, a disappointing free skate for them. They dropped from second to finish in the pewter medal spot. And we'll talk about them. Not, unfortunately, their season is kind of coming to an end. They don't have anything except being alternates for later in the season. And I just wonder if maybe it was, they're still kind of coming back after that injury last year and Spencer having surgery. And this was their first like full season. Cause this, they did the Grand Prix this year. Maybe that had any play, cause they just didn't look like themselves out there. So yeah, one team I was very impressed with, and want to see more of them. And we will get to see more of them. We'll talk about that. But Audrey Shin and Balaj Naj finished fifth. Their nationals debut, only their second or third competition as a team. Really impressed with them. You know, Audrey was a single skater. She competed at nationals as a single skater. And here she is, her first nationals as a pair skater. She was looking very strong, especially in those side-by-side jumps. And the throws looked good as well. They're still working on the triple twist. We saw the triple twist in the short, but we did not see it in the free. I think your comment was, Daphne, with a little more time, this team could be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we need to be patient with Audrey and let her have the time to develop as a pair skater. She's only been doing this a short time, and it to me, you can see the potential there for this team, and I'm excited to see what they're able to accomplish with the rest of the season and then next year as well. Because Audrey, I mean, for her to have really taken to pairs the way that she has, it's just really exciting. So, yeah, I think we can move on to the Ice Dance.
All right, Daphne, go ahead.
All right, so in dance, it was not a surprise. Madison Chalk and Evan Bates won their sixth national title, tying them with Meryl Davis and Charlie White. If they win next year, they will be the team that has won the most U.S. championships. So we'll see if that happens. They did not come into this event without some issues. Madison was sick. We did not see her or Evan at the rhythm dance press conference, although Evan did come for the free dance press conference, so he was there to talk.
This is the second year in a row that they've had an illness affect nationals.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The other teams that ended up on the podium when we were at the press conference did this really fun bowing down to Evan photo. I think it was Christina Carrera's idea. I'm not 100% sure.
I think Robin told them to do a funny photo, and then that was Christina who came up with that.
That's what they did. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So going into, you know, with the rhythm dance, with key points and all the little parts and pieces that are part of the ice dance world. Heading into this event, I knew it was going to be close amongst the teams. There were mistakes that kind of held some of the teams down. Emily Brady and Ian Somerville, last year's bronze medalists, did not get their level was a little bit low. In their midline, also, Emily's twizzle was marked down to a 3 instead of a 4. These little things add up, and it cost them a spot in the final group. They ended up in 7th in the rhythm dance, and the dance event was done in 3 groups of 5. And so they were not able to get into that group. However, their free dance was just so beautiful. And the performance was great. And they finished 5th in the free dance. I didn't want to leave them out because I feel like sometimes when a team makes a mistake, it's easy to kind of like gloss over and not talk about them. But I think they bounced back pretty well in the free dance. So, circling back up, going in, I thought that Carrera and Ponomarenko were going to be a solid number 2. And I still think they are. But after the rhythm dance, it was very close. It was like 0.5 between them and Green and Parsons and Zingas and Kalechnik. They all had 82 point something. Christine and Anthony had an 82.86, but then Caroline and Michael and Emilia and Vadim were tied with 82.13. And when that happens, whoever has the higher technical mark gets the higher spot. And so after the rhythm dance, Emilia Zingas and Vadim Kalechnik, they came to the press conference in 3rd place. But it was so close. And it was also close in the free dance, at least for Caroline and Michael and Emily and Vadim. Caroline and Michael scored 123.24. Emily and Vadim scored 122.04. So we're talking like a point. And in the end of the day, Green and Parsons won the bronze medal by 1.2 points. And that's a very, very close result. And once we get to the event assignments for the ISU championships, USFS did something I think positive with their with that close result that I think is going to help both teams heading into next season. Una Brown and Gage Brown skated very well. They were a point ahead of Katerina Wolfkost and Dmitry Serevsky, who this season have skated junior on the international circuit, but at nationals decided they were going to skate at the senior level. They won the silver medal at the junior Grand Prix final. They fit in with the senior teams here. But it was still very, very close amongst teams. I would say, you know, Leah Nesset and Artem Marklov moved up from junior, scored a 183.12. Ava Pate and Logan Bai, 183.24. And then Katerina and Dmitry had a 186.83. Little mistakes and lower levels do add up. And so I think it's a lot closer than it seems. And again, Brady and Somerville were able to close the gap with Una and Gage Brown right down to like 0.09. Like, it's very, very close. Ava and Logan went back to their free dance from last season. It was a fun, you know, program. It was a good program for them. However, in ice dance, it's so hard because while single skaters have always been able to you know, reuse programs for a year or two, in ice dance, it's almost frowned upon when you have to go back. And I don't exactly understand why that is. Because I feel like if you look at with the Olympic year coming up, I would think that one of the teams would want to reuse a program that was really successful, maybe for the Olympic year. And then on the flip side of that, they may want to come up with something new because they've already got something, you know, in their head. I liked Christine and Anthony's new costumes for Carmen. I think they were much more refined and a better style and color match for them. I think it really helped the program tell the story. Caroline and Michael's free dance reminded me again a bit of that one from 2022 that we all loved that was just more avant-garde. I like when they do that style because I think it's something that works really well for them. And Emilia and Vadim had a great performance. There's so much passion in their performance quality. Like, you can watch both of them and then be stunned that Emilia has only been dancing for a couple of seasons. It seems like, how on earth can she be, you know, at that level? And yet she is.
Yeah, I really liked Emmy and Vadim's free dance. It's one that I've said I've liked since earlier during the Grand Prix season. And then watching Caroline and Michaels as well, which brings back memories of their one, whatever season that it was very avant-garde. This one kind of had that similar feel to it. They, you know, skated back to back, and I liked both of them. And then I think I turned to Anne and I said, which one did you like better? And I think I said maybe to Claire too, which one did you like better? And they were really for Caroline and Michaels. I was Emmy Vadim, but I liked both of them. I thought they were both very well done. And it was so interesting to see those two teams be as close as they were after the rhythm dance, being tied there, and then still being just a point separating them. Emily and Ian talking about their free dance that they kept from last season and that this would be, you know, most likely the last time they would skate it. They were disappointed after the rhythm dance. They were very upfront about that, and that then coming in for the free dance, they were much happier with how they skated. And I thought that was a nice way to kind of say goodbye to that program because they already have some ideas in mind for next season. They did not want to say what they were because they hadn't even discussed it with their coaches yet. So, but yeah, they were kind of excited because they have like this really cool idea, I guess, but, we'll see if we see this idea. You know, it might get, you know, the coaches may not agree with it, once they petition it to the coaches, but, you know, so some of the skaters are already thinking about programs for next season. I did talk with Ava and Logan about the changing of free dances. They started with the program that you and I saw in Lake Placid, which was Charlie Chaplin. They went then to a Hungarian program and then went back to last year's. And they said it was because of Champs Camp. They, you know, they told them to kind of get rid of Charlie Chaplin. But then they went to the Hungarian Rhapsody and it was... They didn't skate well with it in France and decided, you know, that it wasn't working for them to go back to the program last season that they had a good result at Nationals. But I think they're also kind of really looking forward to next season and starting fresh because this was a difficult season. When you're going and having to change programs as much as they did in a season, then you know you need to kind of... close the door on this season and move on to the next. But then, you know, I was impressed with some of these, the newer teams, like, you know, Vanessa Pham and Anton Spiridonov, and Amy Swee and Jonathan Rogers, you know, two new partnerships, maybe didn't have their best skates at Nationals, but, you know, you're definitely seeing what could be from these teams. So, and then we saw Annabelle Morozov and Jeffrey Chen, another new team. They had new programs because of coaching change. So we didn't see Star Wars, but for their free dance, same elements is what I was told in their free dance.
Yeah, I was expecting Star Wars and then it wasn't. And I'm like, huh. One other program I wanted to point out, it scored so well, and Jean-Luc Baker did.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
For it. Rafaela Concius and Alexei Shepetov, they, that program has grown really over this season, and to see them have that performance at Nationals was, it was really cool because... I've seen that program at Dallas, at Lake Placid, at the dance final. So I've seen it three different times. And it just really, I feel like it just gets better and better. And so I'm interested in what they're going to come up with next season. They did not score well in the rhythm dance, so that kind of put them behind a bit. But... you know, we'll see. I think that the free dance, I think the audience was also really into it. And it was to Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, which can sometimes be overdone, but for some reason I feel like it really worked for them. So I hope that they will continue to work with Jean-Luc. And unfortunately, Amy and Jonathan did not have their best performance in the free skate. I have seen them... skate that program three other times, and it has been so solid and so just spot on, and it just from the beginning it just didn't seem there were some problems, and they had a very rough skate that dropped them down, but it was a good program. It's Black Swan, and they both were so fierce in their expression. So I really got pulled into it. So I'm excited, too, for the new teams. I mean, this was a pretty packed field. And I think I said to someone while I was in Wichita that there's such an embarrassment of riches when it comes to ice dance in the U.S. We have such a strong field, especially at senior. There are also other teams coming up through that are really solid, and I'm excited to see how they're all going to fit together. And we also have some that don't have partners. There are several dancers who don't have partners at this time, so I'm interested in what happens with that. Maybe we'll have some even more teams next season. You know, we'll see.
So, do we want to talk about the selections for the U.S. teams for the ISU championships and the other events? We kind of mentioned them as we were kind of talking about each event. But we'll start again with the world championship team. So, for the men, we have three spots. And the three men that were named was Jason Brown, Ilya Malinin, and Andrew Torgashev. Now, for Jason Brown, he is pending return to play protocol. As you know, he did not compete at the U.S. Championships due to what he is saying, equipment issues. So we have to see if he is going to be able to compete at the World Championships, and the U.S. figure skating will be monitoring him and up to checking in with him to see about that, if he is to be able to compete at Worlds. If he is not able to compete, the first alternate there is Camden Pulkkinen, who finished in third at the U.S. Championships. For the women, we have a similar case here, like the men. Amber Glenn is automatically going to the World Championships as the national champion. Isabeau Levito is also pending return to play protocol. Again, she has been out with an injury, so we just need U.S. figure skating will monitor her and see if she is able to compete at the World Championships. And then the other one going to Worlds is Alyssa Liu. In the pairs, we only have two spots, so it's Alyssa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov, and Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea, who finished third. They have the second spot. Daphne, you want to do the dance?
Yes, in dance, we have Christina Carrera and Anthony Ponomarenko. Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are defending world champions. And then Caroline Green and Michael Parsons, who finished sixth at Worlds 2 years ago, are going back to the world championships.
Well, our Four Continents team, which Four Continents is coming up in Seoul, Korea, February 18th to the 25th. For the men, Ilya has not been named to Four Continents. So we have Max Nomov, our pewter medalists at the U.S. Championships, Camden Pulkkinen and Andrew Torgashev. For the women, Sarah Everhart. Now, Brady Tennell is replacing Amber Glenn, who was originally assigned. She was assigned on Saturday morning after the women's event on Friday, but then later in the day, it was announced that she would not be competing at Four Continents, so Brady will be taking her place. And then Alyssa Liu will be at Four Continents. Four Continents for pairs, this is what was sort of interesting here. Alyssa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov, Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea, and then Audrey Shin and Blaj Naj. So we will get to see this team again, and this was a little surprising because they were not on the podium at Nationals, but yet they were assigned to Four Continents.
Yes. I'm not sure how that all played out, other than I have to remind everyone that U.S. figure skating selects their teams not only based on results at Nationals, but other factors. It's based on body of work and their own algorithm for the best possible choice. We don't always understand the reasoning behind decisions, but this is what we're under the impression that this is how they're making these decisions. It's been going on for a couple of years. There have been waves that have been made due to selections for the Olympics and people being left off the team and frustrations and stuff. So I'm not really sure. One thing they did do, though, in dance in for Four Continents is Christina Carrera and Anthony Ponomarenko and Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are going. They also are going to Worlds. They named Emily Azingis and Vadim Kolesnik to the Four Continents team, which will allow them to get some valuable ISU championship points and experience at an ISU championship event. This isn't something that they do very often. I have not seen this. They seem to be moving more and more away from nationals placement and really looking at this algorithm that they have that has to do with body of work throughout the season and results and some other factors that I'm sure I'm not privy to. So, yeah. So they're going to be at that competition. I think it's smart because it does kind of spread things out. And it's interesting when you look at Four Continents and you compare it to Europeans. It's looked at very differently between the two regions. With Europeans, everyone goes. Like, it's they send all their top people. With Four Continents, we have been known to send substitutes versus the top skaters. And so it's just a difference in the way that the regions look at those events.
Well, the World Junior Championship team was also announced this weekend. World Junior Championships is taking place in Hungary at the end of February, beginning of March. For the men, Patrick Blackwell, who medaled at the junior event at Nationals, I believe he was third. He will be heading along with Jacob Sanchez, who we said made his senior debut at in Wichita. For the women, Elise Lynn Gracie will be going to the World Junior Championships along with the U.S. Junior Champion, Sophie Jolene Van Felten, who came back from a seventh place in the short program to take the title. She had a really good free skate, including throwing in a quad sow cow. I was glad to see her skate in Wichita. For the pairs, Olivia Flores and Luke Wang, who a very surprising result for them in Wichita. They took the silver medal. They did not repeat as U.S. junior champions, but they will be heading to Junior Worlds, hoping to do better than their silver from last year. The U.S. junior champions, Reagan Moss and Jacob Galbavy, will be competing at Junior Worlds, and this will be their first Junior Worlds competition. And Naomi Williams and Lachlan Luer are going, hoping to do two better than their bronze medal at the Junior Worlds last year. They competed at senior in Wichita, and they've had a sixth place finish, and so they were very excited to be making a return trip to Junior Worlds, and they're really looking for that title. I talked with them a little bit in Wichita, so they're very excited to be heading back to Junior Worlds.
Well, in the ice dance, there was a little bit of a surprise. So Hannah Maria Aboyan and Danielle Vasilukin, who won the junior title, have been named to the team, along with Katarina Wolf-Kostin and Dmitry Serevsky, who competed in the senior event, but they were second at the Junior Grand Prix final, so I had a pretty good idea they were going to put them on the team. The third team that got named is Caroline Mullen and Brendan Mullen. Now, they were first alternates to the Junior Grand Prix final. They had medaled at their JGPs this season and had a great international result, but they were third at Nationals behind Eliana Peel and Ethan Peel, who were fifth at last year's World Junior Championships, and they qualified for the Junior Grand Prix Final. And their scores, if you compare scores between the two teams, they are similar. So this was something that I heard a lot of questions about. And again, it goes back to the algorithm or the process that the International Committee is using to make these assignments. So it's, I'm sure, incredibly disappointing for Eliana Peel and Ethan Peel to not be named to the team after they went last season and did so well and helped the U.S. get the three spots. But Caroline Mullen and Brendan Mullen are a very strong U.S. team in their own right. It's been a really interesting year in junior ice dance because we had the opportunity for Wolf Kostin and Serevsky to come back down to junior internationally because of the age rule change. And then we had the appearance of Hannah Maria Aboyan and Danielle Vasilukin, who are a brand new team and really have, you know, set the world on fire with their performances. They're very fast and they have a very balletic and beautiful style. So I knew going into this competition that somebody was going to be left out. And it happens to be Eliana Peel and Ethan Peel. And I hope that they use this to fuel them for coming seasons, to push them to work harder and come out on the other side. It's hard, though. It's really hard because it's a disappointment that you have to process, and that's going to take time.
Yeah. There was another assignment, too, that was a bit disappointing. You know, Katie McBeath and Daniel Parkman, though they finished second, they were left off the world team. They were left off the four continents team. And they were given, instead, the Road to 26 trophy, which is the Olympic Winter Game test event. I was quite surprised seeing that the Peels were left off. And I was also surprised to see that Katie and Daniel didn't get an assignment other than this test event. And they're the only ones right now from the U.S. that seem to be assigned to this test event. I haven't heard of anybody else assigned to it. You know, I thought, yeah, I didn't think Katie and Daniel would get worlds, but I would have thought they got four continents. And then, you know, seeing Audrey and Balazs getting it over them, you know, it's just, I just wonder what goes into these decisions that are made. And again, would love, love to be a fly on the wall as they're making these decisions. Because, you know, watching the sport, I don't agree with sometimes, you know, the decisions they make. And I feel that sometimes one decision, though we don't think it's a big decision, you know, it's just one decision, you know, okay, we're not going to name them, but, you know, they got next season or whatever. It can really make a difference for a team, for an athlete in their, you know, in their career. And, you know, especially with the Peels, this is it for them in juniors. They have to go up to seniors. So you don't know how this will impact them. We're hoping that they're going to take this and say, all right, we're going to keep on going and use it as positive energy.
Definitely. And this isn't the first time that decisions have been made that did not reflect the Nationals' placement. Yeah. We've been moving in this direction for a while, and it really has made it much more of a surprise sometimes when you see who gets assigned to what competitions. Yeah.
We don't have to go back there. I mean, look at all of our Olympics, you know, within the recent years. There's been somebody who, you know, does better at a national competition who gets left off the team. for somebody else. You don't have to, you know, 2022, Ilya Malinin will remind everyone he was left off the Olympic team then, and Jason Brown was put on instead of him. You can go back, you know, we know the Ashley and Mirai in 2014. There's a lot. Adam and Ross Minor in 2018. There's just those these things, and we have to remember that there's this whole criteria that they look at.
They definitely do not have an easy job. Making decisions like this is incredibly difficult, and it's hard when you are talking about feelings. Yes. And emotional responses to disappointment. Yeah. Like, it can be very sad. Yeah. And then you're happy for one skater and sad for another because, you know, when you watch these athletes as long as we have, you have seen them come up through the ranks and... It's just really hard to...
And it's especially hard when you have a high moment. You know, you get on the podium, it's what you've been working for, and you know what comes with that. And then the next day or just a few hours later, then you find out, oh, well, I got on the podium, but I'm not getting that next thing that comes with being on the podium. Then it go, you know, the emotions. You go from that high to that low. And it's just so hard. It's so hard to see it. And you wish you could send everybody. I wish we had like six assignments for every event and could send everybody. But it's not the case. And yeah, it's just the way it is. It's hard. So hard.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, I kind of wanted to just mention a couple of things. We had novice pairs and dance at this competition. Our novice pair champions are Alina Kerr and Mitchell Castelletti, silver medalist Juliet Meek and Devin Meek, bronze medalist Juliana Ganti and Matthew Curtis, and pewter medalist Tallulah Tanner and Nikolai Apter. Novice dance, our champions Marion Carhart and Dennis Bledsoe, silver medalist Grace Fisher and Luke Fisher, bronze medalists Sophia Fagey and Wells Middlecoff, and pewter medalists Clara Fugate and Warren Fugate. And an interesting thing about this, Luke Fisher was so sick that Grace came out by herself to get the medal during the award ceremony.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. And so we did kind of give a little bit of a rundown for some of the other events. Michelle Daish and Ryan Hu moved up from sixth to get the pewter medal in junior dance. There were some mistakes. Some teams had some uncharacteristic falls or just not their best performances. And I am already looking forward to next season and seeing what some of these teams put out.
Well, I just want to mention the junior and champions for men and for the women. Did not get to see the junior men, but the champion was Lorenzo Alano. Silver medalist was Alexander Fegan. Bronze medalist was Patrick Blackwell. And the pewter medalist was Kurt Hakato. And for the junior women, which I did get to see, that was the first event on Thursday for me, was Sophie Jolien Van Felten, who came up from 7th in the short program to win the gold medal. And she had the quad Saukow, and I believe was the first U.S. woman to do a quad Saukow at the U.S. Championships. Skylar Lutawa-Pagero took the silver medal. And for those of you who don't know, Skylar is the daughter of Yulia Lutawa. She is Lindsay Thorngren's coach. Very cute. She's only 12 years old, but she took the silver here at the U.S. Championships. Jessica Jerka had a really good skate. She took the bronze medal. She was fifth after the short program. And Amelia Nemirovsky took the pewter for the second year in a row. So yeah, it was a really good junior women's event. I'm glad I got to see some of the junior women. The only junior event I got to see, I had hoped to see again dance in pairs, but you know what happened there with my flight. So glad I got to see at least the women.
Yes, and so rounding out pairs, we did give a little bit of information already on the gold and silver medalists. So bronze medalists, Saya Carpenter and John Maravella, and pewter medalists, Sophia Jarmak and Luke Witkowski. And Luke was an ice dancer at one point.
Yeah, and I believe he did some singles, too. I think he was trying to qualify for singles. And his partner, yeah. Sophia, was doing the same thing. They were both.
Yep.
So.
So I think, Gina, we can close the book on Wichita Nationals.
Yes, I think we can, and I think we can get some sleep now and get caught up on all of our work that we have to do from that event. I know I have two interviews that I got to write up, and I've got some other things and lots of photos from Robin to edit. So, yeah, but it's time to close the door on Wichita, and 2 months from now, we'll be heading to the World Championships.
I know, and it's a much easier travel for us, too. I'm excited that we're getting Worlds again in the U.S. We both were in Boston in 2016, so it's going to be a lot of fun to get back there.
Yeah.
And see how what the setup is this time. And now with the Skating Club of Boston out in Norwood, with their new facility, like how, I'm not expecting they're going to utilize that for this competition, but they're the one, they're part of, it's Skating Club of Boston is a big part of the organizing committee for this competition, at least for local. So I'm excited to see it all come together.
Yeah, and I'm excited, too, with the fact that we just got to be at a Worlds last year, how we can compare the two. You know, this one, how was Montreal, was Canada hosted it. Now we're going to Boston. It's the U.S. hosting it. So we'll see. We kind of can compare because we've never had this opportunity to have two World Championships in North America back-to-back like this, and both get to attend them. So I'm very interested to see how this will go.
Boston hosted it really well last time, so I think, you know, we'll see how things go. So I think we can close the door on this, and if you haven't checked it out, we released an episode that Mateo did covering the events of the week that were not part of the U.S. Championships. And I believe he also previewed the European Championships a little bit. So if you haven't listened to that one, be sure to check it out.
Yes. And the reason he didn't join us today to hear us talk about the U.S. Championships is he is getting ready to go to Europeans himself. So we're kind of overlapping here on our travels. So we will hopefully all be together maybe next week once he gets back from Europeans and we can hear all about Europeans from him. But yeah, we missed him. We were sending him some updates a little bit from Wichita, sending him some photos. And so we look forward to being back with him soon.
Yeah. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.